Yes, amen. You may be seated. I am excited about today. We're speaking on this series called Kingdom Come. And this kingdom is not a concept or a thought. It exactly affects every part of my life. It affects my marriage, my kids. It affects my health. It affects everything, how I think, how I act. It has cultures. It has ways. And we've been speaking about different ways that we can interact with the kingdom of God until the kingdom of God is so in us that we take it wherever we go. And wherever we go, it becomes transformed by the power and the presence of the living Savior who lives, abides in us, the King of Glory. And we spoke about transitions that we need to make in order to come into this kingdom, that we got to step out of the world system that taught us to be discipled into the gospel of the kingdom. And we make transitions. The church has got to make transitions. And we also spoke of how the kingdom has cultures. And we spoke about the foundational cultures, the culture of intimacy, the culture of the apostolic and the prophetic, which really lay the foundations for our lives. And the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about kingdom keys.
Come
on. The kingdom has keys. One of the most pivotal scriptures in the New Testament is Matthew 16, which we tend to read a lot here because it's about the ecclesia. It's about this thing called the church. Jesus had been on the earth. He knew who he was. He understood who he was, but the people did not know. And he had come to the place where it was time to announce who he is. But it was not just time to announce to his followers. It was a time to announce it to the prince and powers of the air. It was time to announce it to those, the rulers and authorities in high places. So he brings them before the temple of Pan in Philippi, Caesarea. He takes them to that temple, which is called the gates of hell. And there he asks them this. He says to them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter replied, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Blessed are you, O reed bending in the wind. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed it to you." And when you get a revelation from God, you are transformed by that revelation. You get renamed in that revelation. And now I tell you this, that you are Petro. You are now a rock. And of this rock, out of this Petros, which means protrudes out of the rock, comes the revelation. What's the revelation? That Jesus is the Son of God. So Peter, you're the rock. And what protruded out of you, this revelation, I will build my church on this thing, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom, that whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, that whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now notice that he didn't say, "I give you the key." He said, "I give you the keys." Why? Because there's more than one key. What do? Keys lock. They bind. Keys unlock. They unbind. They loose. And so they have the power to bind the advancement of hell. They have the power to loose the glory of heaven and unlock heaven's will and heaven reigns so that Christ displaces the reign of darkness over the earth. Now, Jesus said, "I give you the keys." And in the coming weeks, we're going to talk about some of these other keys. But today we're going to talk about a very important key. And by the way, there's more keys than we've talked about. There's more cultures in the kingdom than what we've talked about. There's more transitions than what we've talked about. We're just getting your appetite whet that you go and say, "Okay, I got to dig into more." Here's a couple of keys that we want to go for. We want to go for some keys that really bring our lives into freedom and give us maximum alignment to the King of Glory. Now, listen, today I want to go after what I call one of the master keys. So for that, let's go to Revelation chapter 3. And I know it's like, woo, we're going to just talk about horns and beasts? No, we're not. Actually, this is the part of Revelations where Jesus is actually dictating letters to the church. He's telling John, write this to the seven churches that you oversee. And so they're letters to the church, and he's speaking to the church of Philadelphia, which is actually one of the few churches he does not rebuke. And he always appears in a certain way to each church that he's about to speak to. And write this, to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. This is a key that Jesus himself carried. It is a key first mentioned in Isaiah 22:22. It says, he who will sit on the throne of David will carry upon his shoulders the key of David. Whatever he opens will never be shut.
Yeah.
So what is the key of David? There's a key named after David. That means that David had the key. Just like David had the throne, and Jesus is so in love with David that says, I will sit on your throne and I will use your key. What is the key of David? Let me suggest to you that the key of David was the heart after God. The key of David was the heart of worship that pursued God. Worship unlocked for David revelations that even the prophets of his day did not know. No prophet had called him father, but David saw he was a father and he called him father. Come on. Revelation left us 100+ psalms that we sing today that are worship for today. So, what made David this man after God's own heart? I think it's what he saw in the presence. Mm-hmm. Come on. It's what he saw in the presence because he sought the presence of the Lord above all other things. He said this about the presence of God. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Right on. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. What would make a great king trade everything just to be an usher in the house of the Lord? The presence. The presence. Why? Because he found something in the presence you can't find anywhere else. He found something in worship that you cannot find everywhere else. He said this in another psalm. He goes, in your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. As for me, you uphold me with integrity. You set me in your presence forever. There was something about the presence. When I arise and I ascend into the presence, something happens in my spirit that I enter into a joy that I cannot enter otherwise outside of my praise and my worship to the Lord. Now David had a way he entered there. He discovered a way and he made a recipe that by which we can all enter. He says, let me give you a key how you can enter the presence. Let me give you a key how you can enter into the place of the Almighty God. And here's the key. It's for us all out of Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. All the earth, serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Singing ushers you into the presence of the Lord. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise and bless his name. That's how you get there. That's how you get there. And we're going to get there this morning. Now listen, David found the key that allowed him to get into the heavenly places while he was still alive on planet Earth. Touch heaven. David got a hold of something when he started pursuing the presence of God. Worship is a key that allows you to touch heaven while you live on Earth. Worship is how we ascend out of our broken places into the places that he has reserved for us in his presence. It's how we get beyond what earth is manifesting and start to focus on what heaven is manifesting, okay? Worship unlocks the heavenly reality that the apostolic lives in and sees and says, aha, we are declaring this to be so on the earth. So there in the midst of gross darkness, worship rises. Worship rises. How did David attain the promises of God? He was a shepherd. He had no way to be king and God selects him to be king. How did he get from there to there? Let me suggest that he had access to heaven because of his worship. He had access to the voice of God and to the heart of God, even in the worst of times. Let me tell you a story. So David was being persecuted by Saul because Saul saw that the hand of God is upon David and he had disobeyed the Lord. The Lord was going to remove him from the kingdom. And David said, I will never touch the Lord's anointed. It will not be by my hand. I will honor and serve the Lord's anointed until the day that he places me in his place. But I will not touch him with my hands. That's a heart of integrity. That's a heart of honor that was hewn in the presence of the Lord. Now, David is on the run and he kind of makes this alliance with the Philippians, but they weren't around then. They were Philistines. Not the same thing. Just go ahead and ask some Bible scholars. I was totally wrong on that. So he goes to the Philistines and he makes an alliance with all the kings and the kings say, hey, listen, David, the other guys don't trust you at all. You better go. So he goes, okay, I'm going to go back to where I left all our families, which is at Ziklag. But what had happened is while David was away, the Amalekites all came to Ziklag. And they took everybody captive. They took all the possessions. They took everything. They just wiped it out. You came to Ziklag, there was nothing there. And now his man said, you didn't listen to God. Now the enemy, our enemies have come and taken our family and our children, and they rose up to want to kill David. His mighty men want to kill. That's bad news. When guys who can take out 1,000 people by themselves want to kill you, you want to like, whoa. I'm good, but I'm not good enough to take all these guys on. So let's go to it's 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, where this story unfolds. It says, "Now moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. For all the people were embittered, each one because of his son and his daughters." But I dare you to go look at all the Psalms and hear how many times you hear the word "but." "But I will rise." But I will still praise. It says, "But David strengthened himself in the Lord." Now, what did David do? Did he go to someone like, "Oh, David, you got to get strong"? Did he go and read some scriptures? Well, no, because the scriptures would have been at the temple. So the scriptures were not everywhere at that place. They were considered holy and sacred. And so the people did not have access to scripture. So David did not read scriptures. What did David do? He ascended into the presence of the Lord. And there in his presence, he got strengthened by the joy of the Lord, by the praise of his mouth, by the praise of his lips. He strengthened himself for the Lord because, listen to this, praise is the language of faith. And there is no room for grumbling and despair when your mouth is full of praise. Come on. David magnified the Lord, and that changed his situation. You have a choice. You can magnify the Lord in your situation, or you can magnify the situation. And what good does it do to magnify the situation? Usually it just brings you into agreement with the enemy. It's like, okay, everything's bad. And all of a sudden, you out of your mouth are giving the enemy even more room because you just said, I'm defeated here. So nothing would have changed. But David changed the distress of his hearts with the praise of his lips.
That's right.
He entered the presence and he focused on what was eternally true. That he served a King of glory. That he served a God who had trained his hands for war. And there, he rises, he comes out of that place of worship. And he faces his man. And I think they saw something. They go, ooh, look at the look in his eyes. He goes, "Come on, guys. Who's with me? Who will pursue and get them back?" And the man rose up. Steve, how do you know that's what he did? Look at the Psalms. He wrote Psalms about these situations. Psalms 56 or Psalm 16. Psalm 56 is one of them. Right there, it says, "Be gracious to me, O God." Oh, let me put it up here so you guys can catch this. "Be gracious to me, O God, for man has trampled upon me, fighting all day long. He oppressed me. My foes have trampled upon me all day long, for they are many, and they fight proudly against me. When I was afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me?" Did you see that? He goes from, look at what man has done to me, to worshiping God, and says, what can man do to me? Do you see the change of mind? Do you see the transformation that comes when you lift the Lord? "For you have delivered my soul from death, indeed my feet from stumbling, so that I may walk before the Lord in the light of the living." He says, I'm not going to walk in victory someday when I get to heaven. I'm going to walk in victory right here on earth. And that right there is how David strengthened himself in the Lord. It was the song of worship. It was the lifting up of God that brought him into a supernatural reality. In that praise, he bound up despair. Come on. And he lost hope and faith and tenacity. Tenacity to go after the enemy, because the Bible says that David and his men chased the enemy and they slew the enemy from sunset of one day to sunset of the next day. You know what that means? That the enemy could not even hide in darkness. Come on. It's like the Lord says, there they are. Whack. There they are. Whack. If you read the rest of the story, it's really amazing what God does. David recovers all. In fact, it says not one thing was left behind.
Amen. Right. So
The enemy was not able to take one thing. Listen, your worship is the key that will bring you from your despair into your victory. It will fill you with strength, the strength of God, and give you a tenacity to go after everything that an enemy has ever taken from you. How many of you have an enemy rob you of inheritance, your kids, your promises? Come on. That's what he is, a stealer and a robber. But tell you what, when you get full of the praise of God upon your lips, there's a tenacity that says, I'm going to go after it until I get it all back.
That's right.
David so moved the heart of God that he actually changed the seasons that the people were living in. See, they were living under a Mosaic covenant. That meant that the people didn't really, really worship God like we do today. They would come before the Lord and they'd offer the sacrifice, and the priest would lift their hands and they would offer the praise, right? And then the once a year, one person got to go before the presence of God, before all the people. One man got to go behind a veil, because at that time the presence of God was only rested upon the Ark of the Covenant. But David saw the heart of God in worship and says, wait a minute. He lets me have access to him. We can have access to his presence day and night, night and day. And he sets up his tabernacle and there is no veil. There is no separation. It's just surrounded by singers and dancers and musicians singing praise to the Lord, ministering to God 24/7, where all people have access to the presence of the Lord and the glory of God. There was something in David's heart that moved the heart. God says, this man's grabbing a hold of the future and he's bringing it into now. Listen, don't ever think that you cannot grab a hold of the future and bring it into now, because you pursue the heart of God who has those intentions for you.
Right.
That was always the intention of God.
Come on, good word. Yeah.
Hmm.
Wow. Yeah. So good.
This is the tabernacle that is rising on the earth again.
Right. Yep, right on.
Yeah. This is the tabernacle. It's not the tabernacle of separation where some people get to worship. The band gets to worship. No. This is where we all have access. In Acts 15... The church had to have a meeting about what are they going to do with the Gentiles. And they get there and they realize that God no longer is a respecter of persons, that all who will seek his face have access to him, no matter what race, what gender, where they come from. They discover that this was always God's intent, because they read right out of the prophet Amos, who said this: after these things, I will return. And I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which is fallen. And I will rebuild its ruin. And I will restore it so the rest of mankind can seek the Lord. And all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from long ago. You can say, oh yes, but there's more to worship than just a song. There's more to worship than just music. That's true. But Davidic worship involved songs and involved music. Because music gives a unique expression to your heart. That's why we sing love songs. Come on. That's why people write beautiful things. Why? Because the whole universe is vibrating to what's proceeding out of the throne of heaven. The whole universe is going like, God, can we get in on that? And people try to write music to try to get in. And the Satan perverts it, because he used to be the leader of worship in heaven. Come on. And he tries to pervert it, but still out of the heart of man says, I want something, because I got to glorify something out of my spirit. It's trying to bubble up, and it gets perverted and they say, but it's still nevertheless the instrument of God, by which all men have access to express their hearts to the Lord.
Come on.
So it does have to do with singing.
Yes.
Sing to the Lord. Sing praises to the Lord. See who sits enthroned in Zion. Sing praises to the Lord, all ye saints, and give thanks to his holy name. I will sing and make the melody to the Lord. Now listen, there's about 1,000 other scriptures I could go. I'm only going to give you a few. Singing does not just involve the songs with the words on the screens. It also involves the spontaneous song that comes out of your heart. David called that the new song. The new song. Let's look at a couple of scriptures for that. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wonderful things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained the victory for him. Well, come on. He put a new song in my mouth. You ever in worship and all of a sudden you start singing stuff. You're like, where did that come out of? The Lord just put that song in his mouth. He says, I'm agreeing with what your heart doesn't even have the expression yet. Let me put the expression in your heart. Come on. There is something about singing a spontaneous song, a song that's not written, a song that a lot of you guys grew up in churches that did not do this. You just sang the next song, thanks him, But something happened during a thing called the latter rain. It was called the sound of heaven. They called it the angelic sound. All it was is what we do is everybody releasing a new song. So when the band strikes those chords, just like we did right at the end of that song, and there was no more words on the screen, everyone was singing a new song, an unwritten song, out of their hearts to the sing praise and lift up the Lord. Come on. It's your song. It's your time to shine before the heaven, because heaven is listening to every song. In fact, I believe it is making a tapestry right now out of every song we sing. My best friend Chuck said, Lord, what does our worship do? What does it do? He said, son, you can't handle if I show you what it does. You can't handle it. He goes, please, let me see a little bit. And he goes, Chuck cried for 3 hours because of what he saw. He said, I will never see worship again the same way. And my worship does something, is building something in eternity right now. That the fruit of my lips, the sacrifice of praise, is bringing something about to that I do not even know or understand. Our worship ministers to the Lord. It's the one thing we can give to Him. Yes. Come on. Yeah. Davidic worship is an amazing two-way street where earth rises to heaven and heaven descends to earth. And worship is more than a song, because it includes the lifting of our hands. So I will bless the Lord as long as I live. In your name, I will lift my hands. I will lift my hands towards your commandments, which I love. There's so many more scriptures. It also involves dancing. Come on. I love what Barbie is doing with the dance. But sometimes you got to just shake loose and you got to dance. All right? Come on. Let praise Him with His name with the dancing. Let them sing praises to Him with the timbrel and lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Many more scriptures on that one. It involves shouting. Says, then my head will be exalted above my enemies who surround me. At His tabernacles, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy, and I will sing and make music to the Lord. It says that God ascends with our shout of joy. God goes, whoa, yeah. Come on. It's like you know, like you're at church and you got to stand up. That's what God's like. He's listening to our worship, and we shout and goes, whoa, yeah. I like that. It makes Him rise. He responds to our praise. That includes clapping. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. Listen. I am convinced that the enemy hates clapping. Because clapping has to do with joy. And joy is the key to your strength. And he's trying to zap you of your strength. And when you clap, something happens that shifts the atmosphere. Come on. I love it. Yes. 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 Whoa. Thank you, Jesus. We clap to you, Lord God. We clap to you. We say yes. Woo! Thank you, Lord. And it involves standing. And the older I get, the harder this one is to do. Because you always stand in the presence of a king.
Come on.
There's a story when David just opened up that tent and said, everybody, let's worship God. And the priest took the positions, the Levites and the Lord's musicians with instruments that David made. David went and commissioned instruments for God. He loved God so much, he says, man, let's make this instrument. Let's make that other instrument. And they were saying, His love endures forever. Opposite of the Levites, the priests blew the trumpets, and all of Israel were standing. Because standing is something that I can do. And let me tell you, sometimes my back hurts, my feet hurt, but I will not give to Him something that costs me nothing. Sometimes it costs me, but I give it to Him because it's my worship to Him. This key of the end of David, it silences the mouth of the enemy.
Come on.
It does. Samuel 16, there's a story of how when Saul disobeyed the Lord, how he became afflicted by an evil spirit. And one of his men saw David worshiping in the field and says, I bet you if I bring that guy right now, that anointing he's got on his worship, I bet you if he comes in the presence of the king, that thing's going to have to go. And that's what they did. They brought David. It says that every time that Saul would be afflicted with the evil spirit, David would come in and begin to minister to the Lord in the presence of Saul. And the evil spirit would leave Saul and he'd come back into his right mind. Come on, because Worship shifts atmospheres and empowers the victory of heaven over us. I want the band to come up. And I want to go back and end with Revelation chapter 3. Because Jesus shows up to this church with this key. And it tells us what he's there to do. The key of worship will unlock things that have been locked up. And when they get unlocked, they will never be locked again.
Amen.
Hmm. Philadelphia was a church that lived in the territory of Satan. It was a center of satanic worship. Jesus shows up and says, "Oh, I like you guys. I'm coming with this one key." I think it's because they probably had that key. They probably were practicing and using that key. And he says this, "I know your deeds. Behold, I have put an open door before you, an open door which no one can shut. Because you have little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name." Let me tell you something. We were given this scripture before we started Father's House. And the word of the Lord says, you're going to go to this place where the enemy lives. But here's the scripture for you. And today, guys, I can tell you something. There's an open door before this church that is impossible to have been opened. Look at where we worship. Look at the access we've been given in the city. He opened a door that no one could open. Because we did not deny his name. Because we would not reduce our worship to friendly worship that's friendly to the flesh but mediocre in the spirit. "Behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan who said they are Jews but are not." In other words, those who pretend to be believers and come into your midst. And they come because they show up. They do show up here. "I will make them to come and bow at your feet and make them known that I have loved you. Your praise puts us on display before the princes, the powers of darkness, and their servants. It says, look who I love. You think you can curse them?" It bounces off their praise. It bounces off their worship. So therefore, you will say, God loves them. Every hex and every curse we ever tried against them just comes back on us. Come on. Because God loves them. This is a testimony of Jesus. Every enemy of God who rises against us will bow because of our praise to the King. And let me tell you something else about this key of worship. It has preserved this house. And it has shut the mouth of the enemy. And it has shifted the atmosphere of our cities. I can't tell you. I'm going to play you one video today at the end after worship. But I can't tell you how many times worship has shifted atmospheres in a city. Let me tell you the last story as I close. It was 2007 and Pioneer Courthouse Square had been taken over by gangs. And they were doing live sex at the square. It was so bad that we said, we cannot let this stand because this is our city. So Lord, what do you want us to do? The Lord said, take praise and worship there. Feed the poor and throw a big festival. So we invited City Bible to give us some food and some clothing, which they did, and bring their children's ministry. We invited other churches to come and worship. And for 7 hours, we released worship and praise to the Lord there for 7 hours. It cost us every penny we had in the bank. It was a lot of money. But at the end, the Lord says, don't preach, just present my presence. But at the end, I get up there and I said, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And the peace he gives, the world cannot give. And we have released this peace today. Sit here in this peace. Abide in peace. By the way, right before that happened, people were coming and kneeling before the worship band. Just worshiping the Lord. We didn't know who they were. They were just people off the streets just coming and worshiping God. And let me tell you what happened when I released the peace. For 1.5 hour, while we tore down, no one moved. Because they were replaced. Where it had shifted from the powers of darkness to the delight of the Lord. This house is to honor the key of David. And we're going to do that right now. I want you to stand to your feet. We're not going to tame it to fit men. Because the word of the Lord to our houses is never, never, never try to fit the anointing to men. Fit the ministry to the anointing. His presence is first, it's more foremost. Some say that our worship is loud. That's because it says, praise him with a loud noise. Come on, praise Him with loud cymbals. Some say that our worship is long. Let me tell you, I can't wait till the day that we have 24/7 worship established in our city. We're ministering to the Lord, where our city becomes a place of the glory of the Lord, where God is being praised 24/7. Come on, the day is coming. But here's our moment right now to rise up today, to press into a place that you never pressed into worship today. Let's go to a deeper place. Let's go to a deeper place. Come on, let's go to a deeper place. Today, some of you came with zigzag experiences. Take it up. Take it up. Come on. You got a zigzag experience? Let's take it up in worship. Let's take it up in worship. Let's release the sound of heaven on earth. Let's put the praise of God on our lips and let the Lord arise in the midst of His people. Some of you need to violently worship because the fear of man has kept you too quiet for too long. Come on. Some of you just need to step into a place where you're just saying, Lord, I want to see the angels that are here with us worshiping. I want to see what's happening in the spirit realm. This is a house that will not deny His name. We will not deny His name. His name is above all other names. Come on. Let's praise Him. Let's praise Him.